Chapter 31. Michael signed for a parcel, stowed it beneath the reception desk, then let his eyes glaze once more as workers swiped into the building without bothering to greet him. He had barely slept waiting for Kelsey to come home. He pondered her absence last night. When she had finally rung the house at 7 a.m., it was only to say she'd been held up in the office after the night porter allegedly locked her in the storeroom. Michael twirled a pen in his spare hand. It didn't stack up. Either she was having an affair or her work obsession was spiraling. He didn't know which was worse. He fielded some calls, signed guests in, and waited for the morning rush to subside. As 9:30 a.m. came around, he surreptitiously lifted a notebook from his satchel. He turned to the page with the folded corner and scrolled down the list of crossed-out names. Ellen Mundy, parent disappeared. Beth Keller, arrested. Jonathan Hardwick, abductor. Chrissy Coles, neighbor still alive. He reached the next name on the list. Owen Drakes, ghost. Michael dialed the first of several numbers he'd found for the mysterious man. It rang out, so he tried the second, only to be met by a young woman's voice. Wrong number. Visitors and colleagues interrupted his inquiries, forcing him to terminate calls and hide his notebook each time until he was free from scrutiny. Michael worked his way through the numbers until finally, on the fifth attempt, an old man answered. "Mr. Drakes, don't hang up, please, just hear me out," urged Michael. Silence. "I just want to talk. I think we have something in common. I'm not going to report you, but I need to understand what happened to your parents." All Michael could hear was the man's heavy breathing. After a moment, there came a clipped reply.
"Public library, top tower, 11 o'clock.
The line went dead. Michael checked the clock. The library was way across town. He'd have to leave immediately. He hurried to the bathroom and doused his face and armpits with water, then knocked on his boss's door, assuming a croaky voice.
"Hal, I think I'm coming down with a fever. I think I ought to take a sick day."
His boss leaped up, alarmed, waving Michael away hastily, ordering him to take as long as he needs. Michael glanced at the model of the latest bridge on which the firm was working. A beautiful suspension design, the sort he'd dreamed of building as a teenager.
"Maybe when I'm back, we could talk about my..."
"Good God, Michael!"
cried his boss, pulling out a disinfectant spray. Michael checked the clock as he hurried toward the library entrance. It was 10:50 a.m.
"Excuse me. Where's the entrance to the tower, please?" he asked the front desk.
"Oh, goodness me, sir. There are more than 300 steps. Trust me, you'll want to take the elevator up and use the steps on the way down."
"Right, thanks," said Michael, pressing ahead.
"Oh, but sir, you'll need to buy a ticket,"
called the receptionist. Michael doubled back, exasperated.
"There's a tour just about to leave. You'll make it if we hurry."
Michael handed over his ID card hastily, and the woman punched it into the system.
"Done. Have a pleasant trip, sir. The view of the Ministry Dome is particularly special. I recommend the..."
Michael snatched his ticket and ran to the tour group, joining the tail end just as they crammed into an elevator. The metal cage ratcheted upwards for several minutes until they reached the tower's viewing level.
"This way, folks. Behold our beautiful city," said the guide, ushering them onto the platform.
A mesh fence surrounded the panoramic platform, keeping the tourists safe from the 150-foot drop. As they spilled out of the elevator, Michael searched his group for the old man. It was 10:59 a.m., and he was nowhere to be seen. Michael's eyes tracked upwards to the shaft rising above the viewing platform. Authorized personnel only. Michael glanced around, then ducked under the cordon and hurried up to the twisting metal staircase towards the radio mast. There was no protective mesh encompassing this platform, just a rusty old railing. Michael peered over the side as the frigid wind buffeted him. A fall from here would mean paralysis for life, at the least. Gripping the central mast as tightly as he could, Michael shuffled around the rickety old deck until he came face to face with an old man.
"You're late."
"Barely," panted Michael. "Did we really have to meet up here?"
"I've always hated heights," said the old man. "It's seen the further challenge."
"Your parents," began Michael.
The old man reached into his pocket and pulled out a locket. He held it open for Michael to see. A man and woman were pictured arm in arm on their wedding day.
"They were real people," said the old man.
"Why is there no official public record of them? I looked everywhere. They're named in an old news article, but that's it. The report said they disappeared, leaving you behind."
They've been expunged, said the old man. It's their final punishment.
Punishment for what? Asked Michael, edging closer. It was hard to hear the man above the howling wind.
They made a decision that's not allowed in our society. They chose to reject the options they were given and carve out their own path in life.
You mean they committed suicide? Said Michael. Are you sure they didn't both get their letters?
Mom did. Dad didn't. Neither wanted to be without the other, so they rebelled. Mom never reported to the ministry. Instead, they let the ocean take them both. Their bodies were never found. They left a note for me, explaining what they'd done. Imagine, reading that, age 10. Naturally, I went to the police. The Coast Guard mounted a search, but came back empty-handed, so it was all hushed up. I never saw the note again. The police came to my house and took away all photos of my parents. They removed them from the records. They even changed my name. Of course, as soon as I became an adult, I changed it back. To this day, I wonder if that's the reason I was never granted children.
Michael realized the section of railing behind the old man was missing. The old man shuffled backwards. Owen, talk to me, said Michael, edging towards him with outstretched hands.
Now, you know the truth. Soon you will know mine, too, as I vanish in their wake.
Owen, don't do this, begged Michael. Think of the consequences.
I've lived with the consequences my whole life, said the old man.
You won't make it to the other side. You'll vanish forever, like your parents. It can't be what they wanted for you, Michael implored.
That's the whole point. It's not about what they wanted for me. It's about what we want for ourselves. Regulating life to liberate lives. I'm done playing their game. And I sense, Michael, that you are too. After all, if you believe the words of the creed, you wouldn't be here. It's the only question now, Michael. Are you ready?
For what?
True freedom,
smiled the old man. He leaned back and plunged from sight. Michael screamed, reaching out in vain. He crawled forwards and peered over the edge. The man's body was in ruin, smashed across a car way below. Passersby recoiled in horror, while staff rushed to the bloody scene like an ant colony in turmoil. Michael's horror turned to panic as the growing crowd below looked upward, pointing. Staggering to his feet, he fled the scene.